And here we are on YouTube for another exciting edition of Overtime. Of course, we also have to make sure that we successfully made it onto YouTube, because sometimes we don't. Sometimes it doesn't work. Kyle, I see that you made it to YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
There you are.
I like
okay.
it. It's all right.
Alex just arrived in YouTube land. Welcome.
Yo.
Rob T. Firefly, waiting for the thumbs up from you to ensure. Okay, we are on YouTube, and Gila, welcome as well to YouTube land.
Those are not thumbs.
What I'd like to say is, for those people calling in, we'd like for new people to call in first. What happens is, this is the feedback I've been getting, people hear the same people calling in at the top of the hour, and then another familiar voice comes in after that, and then a third voice, and then they think, you know what, this is just some kind of a club that I'm not a part of, so I'm not going to call because I feel out of place. So what I'm asking is that those people should call, but not call right away. They should call after a brief period of time to allow those new, sometimes shy people to call in and become part of the club. Not that there is a club, but if there were, they should feel welcome. Okay, so 802-321-4225 is our phone number, 802-321-HACK. If you have never called before, or if you haven't called for a very long time, give us a call now. We'd love to hear from you. We can only take one call at a time, obviously. You connect, then you'll be talking to us. And if someone else is talking to us when you call, you might go to voicemail, and there's nothing we can do about that, unfortunately. We want to have one phone line where if somebody else calls, we get a busy signal. Yeah, but you would not believe how hard it is to do that these days. No, you have to have call waiting. You have to forward someplace. You can't have a busy signal. Oh, my God. I like busy signals. I really do.
It used to be plain old telephone service.
Got a call,
know?
Kyle.
You
got a call. I don't hear the phone.
Plain.
What's
no,
going on here?
Well,
it's not
features.
Working at all.
It's got features.
What's going on? The phone's not ringing. I see it on plain. Caller ID, but I didn't see it ringing. It didn't
all right,
ring.
Well, I picked up.
You picked
so,
up?
Yeah,
is there a phone call?
Yeah, talk to him.
All right. No, you see something? Okay, here's another phone call. And I don't hear the phone ringing. I'm sorry, folks. It's on our end again. Okay, there's a person there, I think. Is somebody there? Somebody on the radio? I hear myself on the phone. Well, we're getting phone calls, but they're not going to the phone. Why is that? Okay, I heard the phone ringing during the show, so something very strange is happening. Someone's figured out how to call us without ringing the phone. If you're one of the two people who called in just now, please call back, 802-321-4225. Kyle has the phone off the hook, so you might bypass the phone.
I'm being as frantic as I can be.
Well,
the phone
didn't ring. I saw it on caller ID, so I don't understand how that's even possible. But those were two new calls, I could tell. So that's okay. There you go. Now that's a new call, I think. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. I did it again. Off the Hook Overtime. There is no Off the Wall Overtime.
Yet.
Yeah.
Hello, it's Philip from Missouri. How you guys doing?
Okay, well, you're not a new caller. But you haven't called in a while. So we'll...
Yes,
we'll,
you said if you haven't called in a while, so it's like, okay.
Of course, we haven't been on the air in a while either, but you know what? I'll let it go this time. But we do want people who have never called before. Okay, the next person who calls after this semi-regular caller, please be somebody who hasn't called before. How about that?
He didn't call.
Yes, for real. The more people, the better, you know?
Yeah, in fact, if you could encourage the next person to call, that would be, I think, it would carry more weight.
Okay.
He hasn't been on since last year.
Last year was less than 2 weeks ago.
He hasn't been on this year. Just let him talk.
It's 11 days old this year. Okay, you know what? We're going to stop bickering. What's on your mind?
Well, it just amazes me how it seems like our Congress people just want to hang out on Twitter and, like, get in these little stupid fights with one another.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun hanging out on Twitter and getting into fights with everybody.
I hear you.
Yeah, but, you know, it's so high school, you know?
Oh, my high school was far better than that.
Well, you know, these people are supposed to be out there making laws and arguing about the laws they're supposed to be making, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making compromises to get them through and all this other stuff. But no, it's like this AOC thing with something about her boyfriend's foot.
What?
Something.
Wait, what? I haven't heard this at all.
Don't know about it.
Yeah, well, apparently Fox News or something went nuts because she was, like, photographed down in Florida with her boyfriend, and they went all crazy because he was wearing flip-flops or something.
Is that not allowed?
I don't know. I just know, well, she's not wearing a mask, and she's in Florida, and her boyfriend's wearing flip-flops. That's all I know. And,
okay.
And AOC, somebody else...
I don't know why she went to Florida. Why would she go to Florida, of all places? But, you know, if you're outside, you don't have to wear a mask. That's pretty obvious. We all know that. So is she getting shamed for that?
Well, yeah, I guess they're trying to catch her on something. And somebody went on Twitter. I guess, I don't think it was Green. I think it was Bober or somebody like that just went on Twitter and started talking about it. And she fought back. She's like, well, you're just mad because you guys want me. You think I'm pretty, you know, just hot school junk.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, I'm serious. It's gotten me so sick. I mean, my eyesight's gotten so bad now that I'm on disability now. I had to go on incomplete on my schoolwork. I've been busting my butt to try to, you know, with the pandemic and hard finding a job, I figured I'd just try to get a degree in something. And I had to put that on hold because of everything that's going on with my health. And that comes from not being able to afford insulin and stuff I need, you know?
That's crazy that you have to worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, you got, here's the thing, I mean, nobody wants to have health care to where people can actually use it. But yet, you know, you have like a corporation like Apple going on about how they made another $3 trillion. I can't remember.
$3 trillion. And I remember when they became $1 trillion. $1 trillion was only a couple of years ago, and that was a big deal.
Yep.
Now it's just, and that, this shows how when you have lots of money, you make even more. It's a snowball effect.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, okay, well, they're making money off stuff we don't need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody needs a cell phone.
Well, some Apple followers would disagree strongly with any product that they put out.
Yeah, but the point is people make this big thing about, well, if we do health care, then people will not want to pay for the health care and all this other stuff. It's like,
That's what they sound like.
No problem paying $4,000 for a phone.
Yeah, and they do sound like that when they talk.
The life cycle, the rate with which they develop new products, it's unnecessary. They're making enough money because they've done that so many times over and over again, constantly reselling and improving incrementally. But if they waited just a little bit longer, made these things more desirable, had the features actually be evolutionary, it might be a slower, less profitable in the short term, but they just want to keep repeating this life cycle and keeping people in a frenzy of never having anything that they're really on and for an appreciable amount.
Well, keep in mind, they're not just developing a new product, but they're also making sure their old product is something nobody wants anymore, so that you have to buy 19 different iPhones in your lifetime. When it's, you know, it's just, you think about old technology and how things would last for a long period of time if performing the same basic function. Yeah, it's great to have new features and things added on, but to make the old product garbage within a space of months, it's clear that they know exactly what they're doing, and they're just milking us for maximum profit.
Well, it's corporate communism, too, because the way everything's gone digital and everything, ownership is just a thing of the past. They don't want you to own anything.
Mm-hmm.
They just want you to keep paying them money for the you know, the honor of being able to watch a crappy sci-fi series on HBO Max or like The Matrix. I don't know if you've seen The Matrix.
The new Matrix? No, I haven't seen that.
Have you seen The New Matrix yet?
No, I have not.
We have not. No.
Still trying to figure out the last one.
Yeah, the old Matrix we're still working our way out of.
Well, you know, they set it up in a second movie where they said The Matrix reboots every so often anyway. It's like with Marvel and the multiverse now, all they got to do is just snap their fingers and say, oh, well, that didn't work. So, you know, multiverse, and we'll just start it over. You know, there's no, they can't really lose because they can just throw ideas against the wall and see whatever sticks. And if it doesn't stick, well, you know, the Matrix says it reboots every so often, so we'll just reboot it again.
Reboot the entire franchise, yes.
Yeah, that's what they try to do with the newest movie. It's like they actually, the beginning of it, it actually goes into like how Warner Bros. Is forcing them to do a Matrix sequel. They actually say this in the movie. It said, well, Warner Bros. Said if we don't do the sequel, they're going to do it anyway. Actually, I mean, it's just...
That's just wrong.
Just treat us like we're idiots. Mm-hmm. It's just...
Yeah.
And they try to say, well, we're just trying to be edgy and really deep. No, you're not. You're there telling us that you're just screwing with us to get more money.
If you want to be edgy, how about coming up with a new idea, not just rebooting an old idea over and over again?
I would have been fine if they would have recast everybody, had a new Neo and everything, instead of having like a 60-year-old Keanu Reeves go there and like half-ass everything. It's just...
Why not tell a different story from The Matrix? I mean, Neo's not the only guy in there, you know? What about some other person?
Yep.
How about Otto? What's he up to? I don't know. It's got to be a different story. Rob, go ahead.
I don't know how much this will light up our phone lines, but I saw The New Matrix, and I liked it. So I'll just leave it at that.
The beginning is actually a best-of episode from TV. Where they're actually showing clips from the other movie saying, remember this? And they cut away to a clip from the other movie.
A best of Matrix.
They do that, but it's in a weird metafictional way, and the themes of the movie actually reexamine what it means to reboot something or consume something and want more of it and be nostalgic for it. I thought it was clever. Not everyone did, but I was a fan of the old trilogy, and I enjoyed this one. And Gilo is a very good sport for going with me, even though she is not into any of it.
He's got a point, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am a good sport.
All right, caller, anything else you want to say to us besides encouraging the next caller?
Just kind of mad. You know, I had to put my life on hold because of the health thing, and I think we can do much better.
Yeah, we certainly can. Do you have health insurance?
I sort of now, but... That's from Medicaid or whatever,
uh-huh.
The disability.
Well,
but,
you have to, work with what you've got and don't let it get you down. Just basically, you know, your health is the most important thing. So regardless of what someone tells you something costs, if it's important, you do it. And you worry about that later or not at all because you have the right to be healthy.
Yeah. I just wish that these stupid... politicians would quit acting like children on Twitter and stuff and just actually tend to their jobs.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice.
Josh Hawley out here, he's got the most absentee votes of anybody in the Senate.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing he complains about is book deals and, they're going to cancel such and such or something like that, or CRT or whatever the buzzword is today, I don't know.
It's criminal what they do, and you know, right now trying to get the filibuster to be dispensed with, or to at least change the rules so that we can have something as basic as voter rights, you know, pass in the Senate. The degree with which that is being opposed shows you exactly how little these people care about their constituents, about the country in general, about even democracy. It's sickening.
I mean, it's just. I just don't get it. I don't get how the more money you get, the better off you have it in this world, and then you like you basically shame other people for not having it. It's like, well, you know, I have a right to have this Maserati, but you don't. I mean, even if you had, let's say you won the lottery and you bought a Ferrari, right? Would you be able to hang out in the same places that the rich people hang out with the Ferraris? Hey, you wouldn't, because they would just look at you like.
Yeah,
you didn't have the money before. You're not the same as us.
They'd be like,
"You about yourself.
You drove it. You drove it here."
You know, if I can make a a suggestion for people who are interested in the effects of money, watch the series Succession. I think that's a lesson right there, and it's a parallel to what so many people in the 1% are actually like. And it also proves money does not buy you happiness. By any stretch of the imagination. In fact, it makes you so much more miserable and so much more of a miserable person in so many cases.
Well, I do have one question, though, about parodies, right? I was like working on a little thing with kind of Trump, and I was going to call it Trump, like T-R-U-M-P apostrophe. I mean, exclamation point D.
Okay.
And I'm just being raunchy about it, just like every little raunchy thing you could think about. He and Ted Cruz will be doing like at Mardi Largo, and it's like. Somebody told me you might get in trouble for that, but I was like, no, it's a parody. I can make fun of whoever I want.
You know what? Even if you get in trouble with it, which I doubt you will, it's worth it, and the publicity you get will easily counter any trouble you do get into.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got to be able to see the screen to do half of this. It's just, I got all kinds of stories running through my mind, and it's just driving me nuts. I can't just put it down unless I'm, like, pushing a microphone button on the stupid iPad, and it just don't take the notes right.
Okay, go ahead, Rob.
But
The thing about Parody Caller is as long as you're using it, and this is in the United States, as someone who's a media creator and a parodist and a comic and stuff like that, I've been very close to this. You're basically protected by fair use if you're making critical commentary on something such as a public figure. And Trump and the rest of them are definitely public figures. So as long as you are not trying to pose as the actual Trump for like some sort of fraudulent purpose, and it's obvious that you're making fun of him, and such, you know, obviously I'm not a lawyer, I'm not your lawyer, my advice as an artist is, yeah, you're probably fine. You just want to research fair use and parody and how they relate to one another and how they protect creative people.
Well, I got him like running around in a broken down limo that he has to rent, waving at squirrels, not realizing there's nobody out there really to wave to.
That's funny.
And
that's
doing
good
stuff with the present that he got from Putin inside the limo. So if you can think of a rusty, broken down old limo from the 80s, running around with Trump, just doing the nastiest stuff you can think of with Putin as giving him a prison in the backseat.
Hang on a second. You said
waving at squirrels, and the squirrels going, I don't know what's going on. So
you said this is a parody. It sounds like a documentary. You sure?
I'm thinking I'm becoming a prophet on this.
I could swear I've seen this play out. Alex, did you have something?
Yeah. I think Rob's right on point. Going through various points, I think Rob's right on point with respect to the fair use doctrine. Any kind of criticism, critique, parody, satire is generally going to be protected if it's a public figure. But definitely consult your own attorney, your local attorney, if you've got some questions.
Yeah, but I don't think people need to get attorneys in order to engage in parody. I think that pretty much closes it off to most people if you say that.
Don't ever hesitate to reach out directly to any of us, to me included, and you know, happy to have an offline chat. In any event, I reserve judgment on The Matrix because I haven't seen it. But to go back to the caller's original point, I entirely agree with him. I think that Twitter is certainly the wrong forum for real political dialogue. What's happening there is childish, and as I've been saying on this show for many years now, it's absolutely goddamn frightening to me that Twitter is used as a forum for dialogue between national leaders, between leaders of hostile nations, between leaders of nations that are nuclear powers, insulting each other. To go back to Trump, I mean, it was absolutely terrifying when we saw dialogue between North Korea and the United States on goddamn Twitter. It is not what this is designed for. It is limited. It is propelled by outrage and amplification by others, where truth is determined by who gets the most applause and who's the most outrageous, not by the validity of any individual statement. So I entirely agree with the caller and his sentiment, and both he and I are sick of it.
Yeah, it gives way too much power to the companies that are conveying that stuff, and they're not as critical. Like, yeah, maybe the internet itself is a sort of infrastructure that we depend on, but these internet companies are not that. It's not that serious. They should not be the forum necessarily where official business for states or counties and or nations negotiate and you know, do diplomacy and deals and policy arrangements. It's not the place. It's a terrible, terrible place to do it. Gives them companies way too much power, and then they in turn become more focused on profits and deliver products that are subpar, that don't have the interests of their users, and makes a sort of digital feudalism, a sort of they're the royalty, and we're all playing whatever game they arrange for their enjoyment and profit.
It should be made clear, too, that Twitter is not a trusted source for official announcements and news and political statements and things like that, which is why I believe that as many Twitter accounts as possible should be hacked, just to prove that, just to show that, you know what, did Kim Jong-un say this? Or maybe it was some hacker somewhere said this. Who knows? We can't take it seriously. And that way, you know, you don't have these Twitter wars. You realize, hey, it's only Twitter, you know, and let's wait for a press conference or something more official before we take something that seriously. Anyway, caller, thank you for calling in. We want to open it up to somebody new. One last comment, and then we're going to open up the phone line again.
Well, the politicians use it as free advertising anyway, and that's what they're really upset about. That's why they don't really go to these other sites like Gitter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What's that one with the...
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them now.
Uh-huh.
Or they'll show up on somebody's podcast on YouTube or something like that. It's free advertising for them.
Yes, absolutely.
And because these other places don't reach out as much as Twitter and Facebook does, they raise Cain about it. They don't care about the other accounts. They just care about the ones that give them the most views.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Anyway, thanks again for your call. Good luck with all the challenges. You'll get through it, though.
I hope so.
All right.
It's terrible.
It is.
You have a good one.
All right. You take care. Bye. And our phone number... 802-321-4225. We saw a couple of calls coming in on call waiting. I saw a call from California come in, and it went away because, well, it had nowhere to go. But we need a new caller to call in, somebody who has not called before. We want to hear from new people. 802-321-HACK. 802-321-4225 is our telephone number.
While we're waiting, on the subject of, like, tweets being official presidential statements and stuff, as I think was ground into the public view by the previous president, I remember wondering during all that, like, what if previous forms of social media drama were considered, official business? Like, what if Bill Clinton was on IRC in the 90s in, like, pound 2600 trying to get his official statements out among people shouting at each other and slapping each other with fish?
It's the same thing.
It would be hilarious parody. That would be great. You should put that together.
or he wants likes on his saxophone video on YouTube.
I see some of these conversations on Twitter, these back and forth. Now, I realize I've been here before. This is IRC in the 1990s, except now they're leading countries and determining policy, but they're the same immature idiots. And they might be the same immature idiots, too. That's the really scary part.
And then this is the epoch. This is where we have the most powerful technology. This is what we're using these incredibly advanced computers for, to talk trash and do all the stuff that we had many other outmoded forms to use to communicate the very same cruddy stuff. Like, it's just not worth it.
Okay, we got an incoming call, but it's coming from Bulgaria, so the odds of a second caller from Bulgaria are very slim. So I know it's Bobson, but we're not going to pick up this time. Because we want a new caller to call in. If we don't get a new caller in the next 10 minutes, then we'll open up to old callers, and then we would love to hear from Bobson and others. Yeah, we have caller ID. We can tell, even from Bulgaria, that the same people are calling. But we need new people. We want to know that there's other people out there. Now, I know you might be shy. You never talked on the radio before. Well, it's not really radio. It's just YouTube right now. Sure, it'll be saved in our archives for all time, and 100 years from now, you'll be able to go there and hear your voice. But that's nothing to get nervous about, because we do this every week, and after a while, it just becomes, you know, normal. So please, give us a call. Show us that there are new people out there, and then we can hear from the regular callers afterwards. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK, that is our phone number. Maybe somebody else can implore new people to call in. I don't seem to be convincing anyone.
Yeah, you mentioned shy people, and we appreciate shy people. Some of us on this program, I won't name names, but off the air are shy people.
Indeed.
And you know, if however intimidating it might be, we want to hear from you. We love hearing from you. It's why we're doing this all over time, why we've done it since the initial lockdown when we couldn't take your phone calls live anymore. It's a part of the actual radio show we miss very much, and we hope we can bring it back soon. But until then, this is the next best thing. So give us a call at 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK. Or in the U.S., you could use toll-free phone number 833-755-2600, and tell us what's on your mind. Join the dialogue. Be part of what's going on here.
Yeah, when we're at the radio station, we can get 10 phone calls at once. Of course, we only pick up one, but you see the phone lines lighting up with all these callers from all over the place. So, yeah, you know, it's a memory that we hope to come back to sometime in the near future. Right now, this is the best we can do. And putting it together, wow, I can't believe we're even able to pull this off. But it's a two-way street, you know. We want to talk to our listeners and hear things from them. Guaranteed, if you call us and say something to us, we'll learn something that we didn't know before. Right now, I'm learning that we have no new listeners or no new listeners that want to call us.
Yeah, maximum three questions. We'll learn something new. Probably less than that, probably two questions.
All right. Well, I'll give it another 5 minutes. And if we really don't have any new callers in 5 minutes, then I'll say, okay, open up the floodgates. But
I'm looking at our YouTube right now, and there are 32 people watching the stream. So, you know, that's a lot of people out there that are just listening and not talking with us.
Right. That's 31 people. I will say that, you know, we're obviously not going to call in.
No, we're not going to call in.
We're not going to call in. But the 31 other people are more than welcome to.
I don't understand why it's only 31. It should be much higher than that. I know a lot of people listen to it over the week, but I guess listening live is something that... See, on the radio, it's different because you get people that are driving in their cars, and this is why we want to be on the radio more than anything, because radio is magic. You can't see how many or how few people are actually out there. But YouTube, for all its you know, pomp and circumstance, it doesn't carry the same weight. Yeah, if you're viral... You know, if you post a picture of a kitten flying an airplane, yeah, okay, you'll get a million views. But most people, they don't feel that at all. Radio is magic, and that's why we are continually drawn to it.
And we don't have a YouTube channel so that we can have thousands upon thousands of subscribers adding up week after week after week mm-hmm. after week. That is not exactly what we're striving for.
We don't tell people to subscribe. Make sure you subscribe. Don't forget to click over here. Wow,
it would
so
be
damn annoying.
It would be a totally different kind of show if all we wanted to do was get more and more and more and more people.
It's
we
about
want,
the likes, Kyle. It's
we
about
want
the
people
likes.
To be there. Yeah. Yeah, we want you to maybe even call right now or just when you get around to it, catching up with how things evolved, you know, what direction the conversation took. That's what's cool about this. It's not just about having passive people out there. That's kind of what I was alluding to with the way we're using phones. It's what it's these services, these things that, as was said, like you never really own it. It's just you're a continuing subscriber. You're just paying for it. Only on their terms. You don't get to modify it. You don't get to customize it. You're just one account of many mm-hmm. on their system. That's not high technology, yet these politicians, these celebrities, people out there, they think this is it. This is the epoch. This is what I'm doing with information technology. The height of human evolution is talking trash on a social media service. Like, get real. That is not intelligent at all. You're a sucker. Like,
you know,
you're just
saying
one of many.
The same thing for decades. I mean, before this, it was IRC. Before that, it was CB radio. I just think there's always been this least common denominator outlet for people to waste their time on.
Yeah, I when I saw games with in-app purchases, that was like the first use of like color screens on phones that is just blatantly there to take people's money and divert their attention from anything, from thinking about anything that matters. I know there are circumstances where you want to mindlessly do things. There are plenty of game systems and other ways to mindlessly do things, or just, you know, observe society. But no, you have to have earphones and eye covers and augmented everything. Yeah. That's it. That's you being as intelligent and evolved as humanity could ever hope.
Okay, it's 8:30, and we're going to open up the phone lines to everybody now. We have no new listeners, apparently. So everybody, or we have shy new listeners. Anybody can call now, including Bobson from Bulgaria, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HECK.
Just tell me something you do on your processors that isn't a waste of time. And isn't ostensibly survival, like just working. You know, well, do something else.
Everything hackers do is a waste of time in the eyes of the mainstream.
But what curious things. What are you evolving? You know, I looked up a game that I really liked, and people are still developing it. All right, I'm going to answer this.
Yeah, answer this call.
I'm still ranting, though.
Go ahead and rant.
I reserve my rant.
Rant in the other room. We have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Hi, gang. Tim from Connecticut. How you doing?
Hi, Tim. Oh, actually, you haven't called in a while, so you kind of qualify as a non-regular.
Well, I also stayed back because you were looking for new people.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, why not just enable the chat on the YouTube channel?
Well, then we'd have to look at that, too, you know?
That would be a floodgate.
Well, you'd have somebody moderate it.
And who's that going to be?
You'd have other people
we wouldn't wish that upon
putting
anyone.
In their comments that might not want to speak on the telephone.
But it's a call-in show. That's the whole point.
That's true.
Oh,
getting back to another thing that you were talking about, the spoofing emails.
Yeah.
I get them from Amazon all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I forward my stuff over to stop-spoofing@amazon.com.
Oh, they have an email address
for this.
I try
to do the same thing for each company that I get a spoof email from.
Do they all have something for you to send such an email to?
So far, I've been pretty successful in finding the fraud department email for that. I just Google spam email and then whatever it was, Chase Bank or Amazon or...
So there's some...
And then just forward it off. Because, I mean, if they have the audacity to try and spoof me and, yeah, okay, I'll take the 1 or 2 or 3 minutes it takes to forward it off to... Amazon, et cetera. I mean, they always give me an acknowledgement email back, you know, thank you very much for letting us know, and then falls off the face of the earth.
So there's some poor person at Amazon that whose job it is to go through all the spam that is sent to you in their name or anybody.
Yes, I'm sure there must be.
It doesn't
some
take...
department.
Yeah,
unless they throw it.
It doesn't take much time, but yeah, it's that person's job, and it's more important thing is it's not your job. It's not your job.
Yeah,
you take a little bit to divert it.
Real quick.
Yeah.
And it says, thank you for writing to Amazon.com for bringing this to our attention. Your message has been forwarded to our security department. We will investigate the situation. Please note that you may not receive a personal response. In all likelihood, the message you received was not sent to you by Amazon.com. We strongly advise that you not send any information about yourself back to this individual, especially your credit card number or any personal information.
Yeah, I can hardly wait till
more stuff,
I can hardly wait till something like that,
where
words like that are part of a spam email. You know that's going to happen. Someone's going to send that out saying, "We understand that you got fake email. Please give us your information so that we can stop it."
Yeah, and then it's sincerely Amazon.com.
Okay. Yeah, don't expect a human response because you don't get those anymore.
But I mean, it's something.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well. Good on you for doing that. That's important. Alex, did you have something?
Yeah, I have a sort of long-winded anecdote about this this issue of sending messages to messages and repeating. So when I used to live in D.C. a long time ago, it had to be like 2002 or 2003 or something. I was working for the U.S. Army JAG at the time. And I was living in this weird residential building that was in Roslyn, Virginia, right over the bridge, right over the Key Bridge. And we used to get these memos from the management that had all of this flowery language, this orchidaceous prose written into it. It sounded like it was written by a British lord in the 18th century or something like that. But they were memos that would be slipped under your door. And so one of them warned about 4th of July parties on the roof. So we had we had this nice view of D.C., and so you could see the 4th of July, the fireworks very well. And the manager in this memo had said that, there were going to be police stationed around the building this year, and this was due to the antics of the, and I remember this specifically, the, quote, overstimulated revelers, quote, on the roof last year. And so, everyone was very upset about this memo coming around and whatnot. And I remember reading this over and over again, and that was just, one example of the prose that was throughout this entire memo.
Hang on, Alex. Something doesn't add up here. They have police stationed to monitor your roof? I mean, that seems overkill. On the 4th of July, what kind of pull does this manager have?
That's exactly my point. I mean, it was totally overkill and crazy, and I don't think there were any police that were out there whatsoever. So, to that point, one of the nice things the building used to do in the morning was they would put out a complimentary coffee thing in the lobby. But it being D.C., people would get up so goddamn early that by the time I would get up and go to the lobby, all of the complimentary coffee was gone, wow. Completely gone. So I got really angry about that, and I took the letterhead of the building, and I recreated it, and I wrote my own memo in the language of the management board about the complimentary coffee. I remember how it went. I remember it started that, it has recently come to the attention of management that certain malicious residents have been misappropriating the complimentary coffee. This is a clear violation of the building's name, Residential Code, Article 10, Section 1029. That would constitute waste and misuse, subjecting you to fines up to and including eviction from the building. And then I went on to say that we had installed to deter and or detect, we had installed, excuse me, covert surveillance cameras,
wow,
to deter and or detect whoever was misappropriating complimentary coffee, and you would be brought up on charges under the building's residential code, if you were seen to be doing this. And then at the end of it, I just said, thank you for your attention, hope you enjoy the coffee, exclamation point. So the memo, I posted the memo behind where the coffee stand was surreptitiously one morning. And it was there for about 5 days. Nobody took this memo down. And people stopped taking big the other thing I mentioned was that people were taking travel mugs, filling up their travel mugs. So I mentioned that in the memo. People stopped doing that, and I was able to get coffee in the morning. So The memo had the intended effect. But it really pissed off the management board of the company, of the building, because they then wrote another memo to everybody that they then distributed under all of their doors about the childish and asinine prank that somebody had played by posting a memo under the door, please take heed, we will never, post a memo. We will always distribute a flyer under each and every resident's door and whatnot, it went on and on.
Yeah, why didn't you do that? Why did you slide under everybody's door? That's the appropriate way to send a fake memo.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Can I ask something, Alex? Though you cited a code. Was that an actual code, or did you just make that code up?
Oh, I completely made it up. But it was believable that something like that would exist, given the language that was constantly used in these memoranda that were being passed around.
Now, at Stony Brook, my college, some friends of mine and I.
I'm going to drop off, guys, somebody else can call.
Good talking to you. And I saw we got a call from Alabama. So whoever called from Alabama, call back. We want to hear your perspective. But at Stony Brook, we engaged in many false memos, including one that involved a curfew being re-implemented from the 1960s. And this was, I think, in the 1980s, we re-implemented it, saying that people had to be inside by 10 o'clock. And this made it so incredibly inconvenient that the university had to come out with a retraction saying, no, there is no curfew. But we cited... We cited basically the previous curfew name or number. And when they refuted it, they also cited that. So we created a curfew that had never existed, and the university was referring to that non-existent curfew. So you can have so much fun by sending out, I don't know if you can still do it, if it's considered terrorism now, it might be, but you can have so much fun just messing with people's minds in various ways.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, my great regret, one of my great regrets in life is that I didn't respond to the responsive memo with another responsive memo calling, you know, the fact that, you know, called the real memo childish and asinine. That itself was the real childish and asinine thing, and that, you know, we will always post memos. We're not going to distribute them. If it's ever distributed under your door, it's absolutely fake. You know, and just go on a memo
walk. Right.
That was my great regret that I didn't respond.
Well, it deteriorates quickly at that point. But, hey, we have another phone call. I think this phone call is from West Virginia. Is that true, caller?
Yes, it is.
Wow, welcome.
How are you doing? This is the first time I've called.
There you go.
Pardon me?
Yeah, our new caller. We've been waiting for our new caller, so thank you for calling.
Yes, I've been reading your magazine, 2600, for quite a long time, and I'm glad you have this show.
Well, thank you.
And there's an airport here in town that's on a mountaintop, and last week I was walking, taking a walk, and I saw this E-2 radar plane fly through, and I thought they were supposed to be like stateside, I mean along the coast.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is like the fourth time I've seen it fly into the airport, and I'm thinking, what's going on here, you know?
Wow.
I'm just curious about, like, the NSA and that kind of thing.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, is there a reason why you'd only expect to see those along the coastline?
Well, we're not all, West Virginia's not along the coast.
Right.
But, I don't know. I'm just kind of curious about it. But
is a plane
anyway,
the type you're talking about have, like, a big disc on top?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so it's pretty far inland, but there could be some kind of training, there could be some kind of maneuver because of stuff we don't have sensors and we're not being alerted to because it's not necessarily our job. But
what I'm trying to find is, why is it surprising that it's so far inland? Why is that unusual?
Well, I mean, I thought they were supposed to just survey like the coastline. That's what I was under the impression, but I mean,
well, I think it can fill in where there is not a fixed location for a radar that is pointed, maybe over the Atlantic or further, and so they may be filling in, they may be training. It depends on whose equipment it is and what exactly their mission is that day. But that's interesting, just a difference you've noted. But there have been a lot of things going on with aerospace at every altitude. So it doesn't surprise me there's wild stuff going on in the air.
How many times have you seen this plane?
Four times in the last year. In fact, about 4 years ago, down in Sugar Grove, I don't know if you're familiar with that, the NSA had a listening station down there, and they closed it up. They still have some parts to it that are kind of off the radar, so to speak, and it's in the National Radio Quiet Zone down there. And that's where they have the Greenbank Telescope down there.
Okay.
I'm familiar. I've read a little bit of anecdotally some stories about that. There's also people with radio sensitivities, I think, that live out there, people that are that are sensitive or feel that they have health vulnerabilities. So I've read a little bit about that quiet zone. I know about it, and it is very interesting stuff that you're noticing, and it's great to hear different anecdotes about.
Why didn't we visit that when we were driving through West Virginia 2 months ago? That would have been fun.
It would have been really cool. There's some interesting stuff, but it's basically there's not a lot of RF noise there.
Caller, have you ever been to Morgantown?
Yes.
We were there recently. It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah. that's where WVU is located?
Yes. And they have that those personal transportation devices that it's the biggest system in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, we learned that.
Hmm.
We haven't been very much, but we're exploring. We're venturing down into West Virginia more. We've been there, I think, on other trips, but we're learning more and more about it. And there's a lot of research, defense stuff, the university there, health and high technology. So it's a lot more than people think and about a place, like the stereotypes so forth, maybe preceding what life's like there. So thanks for sharing. And,
I'm originally from Columbus, Ohio, but I've been living here. I had a job. My background is in mainframe computing.
Oh, wow.
And I've retired from IBM, and so that's all. I didn't start working for IBM until, like, later on in my career, so. Uh-huh. But, yeah.
Did you work with punch cards?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Wow.
Back in 1970.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That really is. You should write an article for 2600 about this, because people are fascinated by this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I could. Let me tell you this. I used to work for Honda in Marysville, Ohio, and they had I got a picture of their very first computer that I got to dig it up, and I was going to send it to you guys. And it's their very first computer using floppy disks. It stored all their company information and everything on it.
Wow. Yeah, definitely send that to us, please. We'd love to see that.
Yeah, this imagine.
Yes, yes.
These are the building blocks of now what all these companies do just all the time in machines and on their virtual platforms. It's the beginnings, and we love archiving. We love getting examples of that. So please do if you get the chance. Also, what was the name of the quiet zone you mentioned? It was Sugar Grove?
Yeah, Sugar Grove, West Virginia.
And got it.
It's all about the NSA. They shut it down, like I said, about 4 years ago, and they offered the governor of West Virginia that he could have the property with all the buildings empty, of course, for a dollar, and he turned it down. And so somebody bid on it, put it up for auction, and I think they paid like $11 million or $4 million, I don't know what it was, for the property. But they still have some listening stations, and you can read up all about the NSA and everything.
They offered it to him for a dollar, and he turned it down. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whenever that happens, that should be made known so someone else can offer $2 and get the thing if he doesn't want it.
That's fascinating.
Right.
By the way, speaking of the governor, we heard he has COVID and is not doing well. We heard that today.
Yes.
So
fingers
crossed for him. He basically was one of the proponents of getting vaccinated. He's fully vaccinated. He's had his booster. He's 70 years old, hopefully he'll pull through. But supposedly he wasn't doing too well
This whole virus stuff is just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm vaccinated, and I know some people that eat downright, they think, well, there's some kind of transmitter to gather whatever, I mean, track you or something like that. People are just, you know, I don't know what's going on. I mean, well, nobody does, really, but they keep coming with all these variants. And I'm thinking, what is really going on?
You know what? For those people who think that there's some kind of transmitter being inserted into you when you get a vaccine, at some point, the truth is going to come out, and people will figure out, hey, you're right, there is a transmitter. And then when that happens, you'll be part of the most massive lawsuit against the government ever, and you will make out like a bandit. So it's worth your while to get that shot, because if there is a transmitter there, you're going to profit handsomely from it. And if there isn't a transmitter there, you'll get the vaccine. So it's win-win. There
right.
You go. That's how you do it.
That's
crazy.
Alex, did you have a question?
No, I did not. I've really enjoyed having a new caller on the air. Such fascinating stories. Thank you so much for your time and for calling in.
Yes, thank you very much. And please send us those pictures and you know, write an article, because you have some fascinating stories, I'll bet.
Okay. Well, yeah, I also worked for the Department of Defense, and I was using Unix that time for I worked there for 10 years. Did Unix and also assembler language at that time, and programmed in that. So, yeah, that was, I had a top secret clearance on that.
Wow. You have a bunch of good stories, I can tell.
Yeah. Well, so I guess I'll let you guys go.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling, and we hope to hear from you again.
Yes, sure.
All right. Thank you. Now, how awesome is that? That is a new caller. That's how cool it is when you get new callers. And West Virginia, we were just there. It's really an interesting place, and I suggest people visit it and learn more about it. And I see this call from Alabama has been trying several times, so I hope that person makes it through. I know there's a delay, but between the time I say that and the time they hear that. So 802-321-4225. We'll see if we get another new caller tonight. But, boy, that was worth it. That was so worth it.
Yeah, so, and just getting that conversation, I don't know. And talking about things that are, you know, a little wild, but not in someone's right or wrong, just airing it and seeing what you've been hearing and technically observing. I'm going to answer this.
Okay, the first call is Bobson, the second call is Alabama, so I'm not sure which one this is. I want to speak to both of them, but if it's Bobson, we'll have a quick conversation. But just pick up, and we'll see what happens. And good evening. You are on Off the Hook Overtime.
Good evening, Off the Hook Overtime.
And you do not sound like Alabama.
Happy
you sound like Bobson.
2022.
Yeah, you sound like Bobson. Happy New Year to you. It's good to hear from you.
Yes, I can hear you.
I hear my voice being transmitted across the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, twice, I guess. Uh-huh. That was my headphones that I turned off.
You sound pretty awake tonight. Is it very lively over there in Bulgaria?
Well, if it is, I haven't been informed yet. But there's no unusual noises coming from the window or anything like that.
Okay, all right.
To speak of.
Yes, well, watch that cough. Has 2022 been fairly good over there so far with the Omicron variant and all that?
Well, the numbers are ungood in terms of, you know, people getting sick and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but, oh well.
What I've heard is that it's going to probably reach its peak by the beginning of February, and then the possibility of a sharp decline. That's what I've got my fingers crossed for.
Well, it better be sharp, and I don't know anything about epidemiologistics to predict anything for sure, but if it's a sharp decline, I'm not mm-hmm. going to be disappointed.
Yes, I don't think any of us will be. Guys, anybody have anything to say to Bobson? Okay, Alex, it's not going to be another interrogation about Bulgarian groceries, I hope, because that lasted 20 minutes last time.
I do have a comment.
All right, a quick comment.
Groceries,
yes.
for Bobson. However, the comment is that I have to apologize. I have not yet made it back to the Bulgarian grocery store in Pennsylvania. However, I promise to do so this week, and we'll have a lengthy discourse next week.
Unless the Bulgarian grocery store knows about your impending visit and locks its doors.
I haven't been able to go looking for the cookies that you mentioned to try and figure out what you were talking about, but oh well.
Oh, the Triana. Yeah, those, you know, keep an eye out for them. I think that, you know, you'll enjoy them. They're absolutely fantastic.
Well, I've seen them in the past, so it shouldn't be too hard.
I don't think the two of you can hear each other when you're both talking at the same time. So, Alex, what were you saying?
Oh, I think it was the jam. The cookies with the jam in which you are interested. So I wish you the best of luck in the search.
And I believe, Alex, you were going to send one of those cookies to all of us so that we could all be on equal footing. But we have failed to get them.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I
completely forgot about that, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, all right. Well, I haven't been back to that store, but I will buy five. No, I guess I only really need a couple. I only need two more boxes, right? So, you know, send you it. So, two boxes to send.
Send it, so
we can all try this.
FedEx Custom Critical.
No. Get a courier. A courier's faster.
All right. They're not on bicycle, they're not. From Pennsylvania? All right, Bobson, any? Oh, go ahead, Alex. You had something else?
Oh, no. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes. Bobson, anything else from you?
Well, I enjoyed hearing the new callers tonight earlier.
It's really one new caller, but yeah, he was awesome.
Wasn't there more than one?
Well, there's somebody from Alabama keeps trying to reach us, but other callers keep getting in the way, Bobson.
Yes, sorry, I tried to avoid it.
You just dialed too fast. You're a speed dialer there.
Well, I have a device that remembers numbers dialed and repeats them easily, so it's not...
That's some cyber stuff there. That's pretty impressive.
Did you see some talks at Congress?
I watched some of them, but I have to go through the recordings now because I didn't watch enough of them.
Yeah, it was a really packed schedule and so many different things to watch, but we did the same.
Well, they had something like 3 or 4 consecutive tracks.
Yeah.
At the same time, so it's...
Yeah, but you know, you can see them all now at your leisure. Does anybody have the URL where listeners can go to see the talks that took place at Congress in Germany?
I think it's still streaming.media.ccc.de.
A lot of dots there. Streaming.media.ccc.de.
Or just media.ccc.de.
Okay. All right. If you have trouble, write to us, and we'll help you out. All right. Well, Bobson, it's been great hearing from you. We're running a little low on time.
Same here.
So thanks for calling, and best of 2022 to you so far. And we hope to talk to you again.
Same here. Right. Have a great night.
You too.
Take
care.
A great 2022 as well.
Yes. All right.
Bye.
Good night. And that's Bobson from Bulgaria. Our phone number, 802-321-4225. See, that's the call from Alabama, but I bet if we pick up, there's nobody there, right? Because I think he came in on call waiting, or she came in on call waiting.
Yeah.
So if that person trying to call can call again, then you'll make the phone ring, and then we can pick up.
It's good to hear Bobson, though.
Yeah, it's great to hear Bobson.
I know there's stuff going on there. I wonder, I was going to ask him what the weather's like, but that seemed a bit idle.
Uh-huh.
Rather... You know, have a really meaningful conversation. There's a lot going on, and, it's just good to share. And that was what was so good about watching some talks is a good refresher. I'm getting really excited for the HOPE conference, which is going to be more talks,
mm-hmm.
maybe even live talks.
Oh, absolutely, live talks.
Yeah, remember those?
It's an in-person event. And,
it was a thing, yeah.
This is the conference that I think we all need. Alex, you have your finger up, but Rob T. Firefly has his whole hand up, so he wins. Go ahead, Rob.
Just confirming that the site is media.ccc.de if you want to check out videos from Congress.
Okay, and go ahead, Alex.
Nothing to do with Congress, thankfully. But very, very quickly, wait, why don't you try to pick that up?
Yeah, it's a private caller, so it's not necessarily the Alabama caller. But good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes, here we are calling from Disneyland. Well, not really Disneyland, but...
This is Rebel,
you know.
And it's definitely not in Alabama.
No, I'm in California.
Okay, all right. What's your area code, Rebel?
714.
Okay, that is a California area code, so
that
obviously, yeah, you can't be making that up. So, wow. Are you really in Disneyland?
I was, but it just got so boring that I just... Why am I at Anaheim Stadium?
You just realized you're in Anaheim Stadium?
Well, no,
I
left Disneyland. Yeah, I'm.
That's such a California thing.
But you just said, why am I in Anaheim Stadium like you just woke up there?
Yeah, because, no, I just left Disneyland, and I'm looking for a place to charge this Tesla, which I don't know why. I just thought I'd rent a Tesla.
Rebel is driving a Tesla. I never thought I'd say that. That's amazing.
Yeah. I thought I'd try it, but, this is a Model 3, and it's like a $50,000 car, and while it's nice and futuristic and everything, it gets kind of annoying. I mean, when the light turns green, it dings, and to get in, you have to type the card. You have this card, this key card that's a RFID card. That to turn it on, you have to tap it by the console, and it's really annoying. I mean, I got to find a charging station now, one of those supercharging things.
Is that something we can help with?
Yeah. Tell us if we can in any way help you find that.
You're probably going to find, you'll run into
it. Oh, okay. Just to find Supercharger, Anaheim, California. Well, I know where it is because I'm at the,
And there's probably in icons. Doesn't the map thing show you in the car? It's got like...
Yeah, you see, the thing with the map, I mean, it's so filter. Complicated. I mean, not that it's complicated, but it's just, it's not my car. It's somebody, I rented this through Toro,
That's how rentals work. It's not your car.
App.
You rented it
from a private... Well, this is not, it's not like that. It's like rental companies don't rent Teslas. So you got to go through this thing called Toro. I don't want to go on the freeway.
No, nobody does. But wait, what's Toro?
It's like people renting.
I'm
asking him.
Sorry.
The people renting their cars out, like the car rental company doesn't have a particular car.
So it's individual people. It's like
right.
Airbnb
for cars.
Gila said.
But why would someone rent their Tesla to you?
Tesla.
I mean, I'm not saying you're any worse than anybody else, but I'm saying why would anybody rent their Tesla to someone, a stranger?
Well, they people have rented their Porsches and Lamborghinis out.
Why don't we do this, Kyle?
I don't know.
You want to drive a Porsche, it's the best way to do it.
Well, we'll find one. That's one way to do it.
Wow. Was it expensive, Rebel?
Was it like something a day, $110 a day, or
that's comparable to rental companies.
Not for a Tesla.
No, not for it but they don't rent Teslas, so we know that.
All right, where is this charging station? I'm looking for the supercharger.
What's a
I'm
supercharger?
I'm talking to you, and I'm looking.
It's like high.
Oh, you don't know anything about Teslas.
I know nothing about Teslas. I never said I did.
Rebel, this is why you should have stayed at Disney World.
Let me just check.
Sure
right.
I think he's still in Disneyland.
Let's go back to Disneyland.
I think it's one of the rides at Disneyland. That's what I think this is.
All right. No, let's go back. All right. Last weekend I was in the Bay Area. I rented a Nissan Leaf. That's an electric car by Nissan. Now, that's a more nicer, it's easy. It's a regular car and it's regular, the regular type of a Nissan, like renting a Nissan, Maxima or something. But it's electric. Now, I'll just stop here.
Was that more, user-friendly?
Yes.
Okay. Less unwieldy, more
right.
Manageable.
It has a regular key fob and, it doesn't have this thing in it. And, I don't even know where the cruise control is. This auto-driver thing and connect and this thing. I don't want to touch it because, I don't want to mess any of the settings up because... I mean, it's somebody's car, so I don't want to,
Yeah, and then also, those ones are kind of fast. They got, they might have, a secret button that launches you somewhere. You got to be kind of careful.
It's not a button, but it's a setting that, the drive setting to sport mode, and it really accelerates. So I turn that off.
Yeah, keep that off. But you need the juice. You gotta get and the superchargers are the high speed ones, right? So you just are there for 10 minutes while you're talking to us, right?
Well, it's a half hour to charge.
Half hour, okay.
But I'm not at the supercharger yet. I just stopped to talk.
I feel
an
guilty.
An hour for the Leaf to charge up from 10% to 94, 80%, it takes an hour to charge a Leaf. But from 10% to 80%, it takes 20, 30, 40 minutes.
I don't understand about all these charging stations, what are people supposed to be doing while their cars are charging? Is there some kind of activity for them, or are they just sitting in their damn car?
Well, they usually put them near restaurants and shopping centers and things like that. Uh-huh. So
they're supposed to be liking and subscribing the Channel 2600 YouTube channel.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Did you find it yet?
he stopped to talk to us. It's our fault. It's our fault he hasn't found it.
You know where he's going?
All right, wait a minute.
I'm
hold
impressed.
On. I'm going to put you on. All right,
he's doing
it. That's that.
Wait,
that's
you suddenly
that.
Sound muffled.
There's this.
Are we on speaker? Is that what's going on?
I think you put a phone down.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm looking for the...
He's navigating.
Okay, now we're on an unknown level. Now we're doing this.
This is how horror
movies
start.
That's the thing. I would do it on the Bluetooth, but the Bluetooth doesn't... It was working, but then for some reason it stopped working.
It'll do that.
So right now we're in a cup holder.
Right. Now I don't... Well, you're not in a cup holder now. I'm holding the phone, which I'm sure that California...
Yeah, that might not be legal, Rebel. You might get in trouble. Yeah.
You're going to get arrested for talking to us.
But then we can talk to us from jail. That'd be kind of interesting, too.
Well, no, you just get a ticket. You know how California is with their tickets. You know, they really,
Yeah, but they tell you to hang up the phone when they're giving you a ticket, and you won't do that, so then you'll get arrested.
He called us for help. We're supposed to be helping.
Well, that was his mistake, wasn't it? He calling us for help? Really?
I like the survey. I like that he's surveying different things, checking out all this new stuff, and I guess...
Okay. So now we got to make a right. Well, it's good. You did this back in the 90s. You called in when you were in different places. And.
No, you're right. Yeah, good memory. I did call in while I was driving around California. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was one show where my voice changed while I was talking on a cell phone, and it didn't sound like me, and nobody believed it was me.
Hmm.
That was really weird because I couldn't hear the difference, obviously, but everybody else could. And when I listened to it, I didn't believe it was me either.
I wanted to make this a green trip, so, that's why I wanted to...
It's pretty green.
Yeah, you sound like you're going out of your way to make the choices that would, produce less carbon.
Right. I have not emitted any greenhouse gases since I've, come here.
Well, I'm not sure I believe that.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Rebel. Well, listen, we want to wish you well.
No gasoline fumes, cousin.
Yeah, no gasoline fumes. We want to wish you well in your travels.
And I think, now I got to make a U-turn.
Oh, boy. See, this is where it gets complicated.
I think I missed it.
Uh-huh.
0.1 miles, make a U-turn.
Okay, well, we have every confidence you're going to find a supercharging station and get everything you need. Are you going to be back in New York in the next week or two?
I'm coming back to New York City on Friday.
Okay, great. So maybe you'll call us locally next week. You can tell us all about the Tesla.
Yeah, next week.
All right, sounds good.
Safe travels, and sorry Disneyland was a disappointment.
I'm glad it was, because...
The one in Florida was so much better.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's Disney World, and that's the whole state.
Right, yeah, that's what I went a couple months ago. It's so much more exciting.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rebel, thanks for calling, and best of luck.
Okay.
All right, be well.
Bye.
Have fun.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that. Was not expecting that. You know what? We're going to give it another few minutes. A person from Alabama was trying. We'll see if they ever get through. We'll give it another, 3 minutes or so. And if they do, we'll pick it up. And if not, we'll do something next week. Go ahead, Alex.
I think it's been a really great overtime. This one has been a lot of fun. Having new callers and then some old callers come in. And I heard from an anonymous listener that, and this I think is a testament to the power of taking phone calls,
mm-hmm.
is that overtime is becoming more interesting and entertaining than Off the Hook.
Wow. Is that your opinion, Alex? It says fraudulent call. You got to pick this up, Kyle. You got to pick this up. On the screen, the call from Alabama says fraudulent call. Is this a fraudulent call?
Hey.
That's what your call says. It says fraudulent call. How did you do that?
I feel like I've been war dialing. It's a Singapore number.
You're calling from Singapore, not Alabama.
Well, yeah. So wait. I don't know what the prefix is.
What is the country code for Singapore?
Plus 65.
Okay, what was showing up was 659, which is an area code in Alabama, so that's why we thought it was Alabama. But, wow, it says fraudulent call for a call from Singapore. That's what our phone company thinks of your country.
That's, That explains why a lot of people aren't picking up my calls. So,
that is what it says by default. That's so insulting. Anyway, what's on your mind tonight?
What it is. Well, I was just asking to calling up to see whether or not you could provide me with your mother's maiden name and your date of birth. No, first time caller. Been listening for years. Missing Oscar's All Night Deli.
Oh my God! You really have been listening for years.
I know, right? It was pretty bad, but no, I just calling up to say hi. But also, kind of a topical thing that's happening at the moment. So I live in Singapore, but I'm kind of stopping with friends in the UK at the moment for Christmas and whatnot. Uh-huh. Obviously, we have our Premier Boris Johnson is currently going through some trials and tribulations.
Oh, yeah.
If you've been following it.
Oh, yes.
But it's interesting that arguably probably the most veiled place in the UK is his residence. And it's interesting to see whether or not the police authorities now have enough evidence, given all that CCTV that exists in that area, as to whether or not they can now investigate if he was at a wine and cheese party or not.
Oh, I'm sure they can.
That might have backfired. Because they were saying a couple of weeks ago that there wasn't enough evidence to investigate, but I'm sure there's probably enough body of evidence now with all the surveillance in that area to be able to find out whether or not the blonde-haired, floppy individual was present or not.
Well, between CCTV and all the surveillance that a prime minister would get normally, I think they can account for his every movement. I heard today there was some footage of him with wine glasses next to him and a cheese board. So I think they got all the evidence they need.
Yeah, I think so, right? So I think it'll just come down to a question of whether or not he's... also, there used to be a saying that people would have a suit made of Teflon. Feels like that Boris is a bit like that at the moment. I'm amazed that he's had about four or five different things recently that he's managed to evade. But we'll see. So watch this space, I guess.
You know what's interesting.
But really, I just wanted to.
What's interesting about this is that Boris Johnson is a member of a rather conservative party, obviously in England. In the UK, and members of his own party are calling for him to resign. Now, contrast that to what happens in this country, where it doesn't matter what somebody does in a particular party, they will never call for that. They will continue to back them up, no matter how unreasonable, how crazy they get. So even though I don't like Boris Johnson, it's kind of interesting that they have that much integrity that they're saying, you know what, you're out of here because you weren't honest and you didn't live up to your responsibilities.
Well, it's an interesting thing, Emmanuel, that prior to his involvement in sort of higher politics, if you want to call that, he was a journalist for the press, but he was also a fairly regular host of a TV show called Have I Got News For You, which I don't know if you're familiar with it, but is a satirical panel show that kind of reviews and berates politics, largely. So he went in a relatively brief period of time from hosting that show to then becoming, I think he was foreign minister, and then before you know it, after a number of resignations, he's prime minister. So it's kind of a strange trajectory for a premier. But I hear what you're saying. It's an interesting situation that you have over your part of the world, where I'm surprised that there isn't more of a culture of people kind of calling for politicians to stand down. Why is that? Do you think is that just not in the kind of the DNA of the politics in the U.S.?
Well, it didn't used to be, and I think when you have cult mentality, which I honestly believe this is, it doesn't matter what the facts point out. It doesn't matter what the actions of the person you're following are. They will never be questioned. They will never be wrong. And it's really kind of scary. We've seen it before in other places, in other times, and we're seeing it firsthand here. And it's just it's frightening how many people have fallen under that spell, and I wonder what it's going to take to get them to wake up and see reality, which is not necessarily the reality of the other party. It's reality of, wow, I'm being lied to. This is wrong. This doesn't make any sense, and I should be questioning things.
And do you see that both sides of the aisle?
No, I mean, you know, to a degree, obviously, there's blind following in any leadership role, but no, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. I mean, if anything, Democrats have the problem of self-criticism that hurts them to the degree where they basically keep losing to the Republicans, you know, where somebody does something that's slightly wrong and they're treated with the same gravity that somebody who is doing something really wrong on the other side and standing in the way of democracy. It's a problem that they can't seem to get past. They're getting in their own way. I don't know. It's kind of depressing. It's kind of depressing, but it's also fascinating to watch.
It's an example of the political hyperbole, the political currency being hyperbolic language, and that language morphing to out-and-out lies and falsehoods, and not seeing those as a liability in the way that the Prime Minister's party might be. Here it's like, well, it's a lie, well, we're going to run the running with everything, right? And because the more outrageous and reaction that it provokes and more provocative the things are, that's seen as being more valuable than doing right and seeing sort of long-term political liability. And that's what we're really missing. Like, the Republicans, I think, are not seeing this as a liability, as the liability I think it is.
Go ahead, Alex. Alex, please, go ahead.
Yeah. I had to go off mute there for a second. You know, it's like somebody beeping before you get into first gear, you know, when the light changes from red to green.
You have trouble with that, too.
Beep.
I know. See, yeah. One thing that caller forgot to mention with respect to the trajectory of Boris Johnson was that he did spend a considerable amount of years as the mayor of London, and that was, I think, you know, the sort of the last step before the national politics again. But I lived in London for a few years under Boris Johnson, and having studied in the UK as well, I can say I can imagine nothing more British than taking down a prime minister with a wine and cheese board and a garden party. This is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. It seems like so nothing.
Well, so go ahead.
No, yeah, go ahead.
We'll see. I mean, watch this space. Who knows?
Yes.
Maybe it'll be the haggis that finishes him off. But who knows?
All right, well, look, we're going to leave it there. Thanks so much for calling. Are you currently in the UK or in Singapore?
I'm in the UK right now. I'll be back in Singapore in around about the 20th, and I'll be doing my lockdown. So I'll probably catch you then.
Yes, call us from
Singapore. Works out quite well.
Call us from Singapore because it'll be daytime there while it's nighttime here, and it'll be kind of cool to say that.
Sweet. All right, will do.
All right.
Nice one. Stay safe.
You
catch
too.
Catch you in a bit.
Take care.
Great to hear you.
All right. There you go. Another new call. Aren't these amazing? Yeah. I thought it was Alabama, and it turned out to be Singapore. That's funny. Okay, yeah, well over our usual time period, so I say we say goodnight and thank everybody for listening and for calling in. Please write to us, oth@2600.com. We'd love to hear what you have to say. If you have a story you want to send us, something you want us to focus on in the next edition of the program, please do that. Please remember to support WBAI, the radio station that we're on from 7 to 8 on Wednesdays, by going to give2wbai.org or calling 212-209-2950. All right, we will see you next week. Good night, everybody.